So Venerable Geshe gives us two methods to use to improve our ability to remember Dhamma. I'm going to come back to those a little bit later on. But to help us overcome all of these three faults, we are given six recognitions to cultivate. So whenever we listen to or read Dhamma, we should cultivate six recognitions regarding ourselves as a sick person, because we suffer from desirous attachment, hatred, ignorance, and other diseases of the mind. Regarding Dhamma as a supreme medicine for our mental sickness. Regarding our Dhamma teacher as a supreme doctor. Regarding putting Dhamma into practice as the way to become cured of our mental disease. Developing conviction in Buddha Shakyamuni as a holy being who is completely reliable. Developing a strong wish that Dhamma will flourish and remain for a long time. So this first point, regarding ourselves as a sick person because we suffer from desires, attachment, hatred, ignorance, and other diseases of the mind, is the engine for all of the forthcoming recognitions. This is what will help us make sure that our pot is turned the right way up. Complacency is a real danger for us, many of us. Now maybe our life feels relatively comfortable. I'm doing all right. I'm okay. I know there's suffering in the world, and I know about aging, sickness, and death, and the four rivers of sorrow. I know. But right now, and we have to be a bit careful, because if we are relatively comfortable, you know, even mentally relatively comfortable, that can be just because we have good karma ripening. It can be literally just because we have good karma ripening. And when that good karma is burnt up and exhausted, and some different karma ripens, will we be okay then? Like, we can't rely just on having the karma for comfortable conditions. You know, we talk about samsara as like an ocean of suffering. We are adrift in the ocean of samsara, buffeted by the waves of suffering that crash down upon us. And unfortunately, we'll often find ourselves in one of two situations. One is that there is a wave crashing down upon us. There's a wave crashing down upon us that consumes all of our attention. All of our attention. And our minds think, I've just got to get through this. Even Dharma has to get put on hold. I haven't got time for praying. I haven't got time for foundation program or my regular weekly. I haven't got time. I've got this problem. I've got this big problem. I've got to deal with it. I've got to deal with this. This is a real problem. I've got to deal with this. And there's a little bit of a subtext where we think, I've just got to deal with this, and then it'll be okay. I've just got to deal with this, and then it'll be okay. But it won't be okay, because what's on the other side of the wave that's crashing down upon us is another wave and another wave, and in the ocean of suffering, samsara, those waves won't stop coming. They won't stop coming. Now, Buddha is on the shore of nirvana, the shore of peace, and he's calling out to us, get out of the ocean. And mostly we can't hear him because there's a wave crashing down upon us. But from time to time, and this is the other unfortunate scenario, the wind calms down, the waves abate, the waters are calm. Now maybe we can hear Buddha, get out of the ocean. And we're like, dude, calm down. This is lovely. This is what I've been waiting for. I've battled through so many waves and I've found a little oasis of calm. this is great. We get our Lilo out. Yum, yum, yum. This is fabulous. Get out of the ocean. And that's the complacency. So to some degree or other, that's where we are. You might be thinking, no, I'm in a wave. A little ripple, maybe. Sorry. Maybe big wave. But for many of it, it's a little ripple, really. And what this is about is realizing where we are. I'm in a place I cannot safely stay in. I'm in a place I cannot safely stay in. I have to move. And there's waves crashing upon us, so we have to tune in. Buddha is the voice that we follow to the shore that is beyond sorrow. Like, tune in to that voice. Buddha is calling to us. He's talking to us through our teachers and through our Sangha and through the books. And he's saying that there's a pathway to peace. There is a pathway to safety. Follow these steps. Follow this path. And we need to listen deeply from our heart. Now, we have so many powerful analogies, you know, from Jetson Karpa's three principal aspects of the path. We're like enveloped in darkness, pitch black darkness, ensnared in the iron net, bound by the chains of karma so hard to resist, swept along by the ocean, by the currents of the four great rivers of suffering. We're in a predicament. Our delusions have put us in a place of tremendous vulnerability. Like, when we go through the suffering, the meditation on the sufferings of samsara, you know, we can start with uncertainty. We like to believe that we have some assurances, some control, but our predicament is so uncertain. And it takes a courageous heart to let ourselves acknowledge how vulnerable we are. We're so vulnerable. We can't stay here. Now, Geshe shared with us the contemplation that he credits for his realization of renunciation, which is that contemplation of waking up in a burning room, surrounded by fire. It's intense, and when we first hear it, perhaps it's uncomfortable to hear, but it's so evocative. I can't stay here. I have to get out. When we realize the predicament that we're in, when we can displace that complacency, realize that the damage that the delusions are doing to us and will continue forever to do, whereas I'm sick and I need healing. I need to get out. I need help. Now, when we listen to Dharma, we need to be listening from our heart, keenly motivated, attentive, but we also need to be deeply hopeful, like deeply confident. We're not listening in a sort of forlorn way, thinking I'm sick, I'm broken, I'm beyond repair. It's not that at all. We're not spiritually terminal. You know, physically we might be and get to the Pure Land or whatever, but spiritually we are not a hopeless case. The next recognitions are showing the mechanism to get from wherever it is we found ourselves to the place that Buddha wants to carry us to. We regard Dharma as supreme medicine for our mental sickness. We regard our Dharma teacher as a supreme doctor. We regard putting Dharma into practice as the way to become cured of our mental disease. So even with those analogies that can sound so hopeless, I'm drowning in the ocean, I am ensnared in the pitch black darkness of ignorance and the net of self-grasping and the iron chains, it can sound so hopeless. But the point that with the next recognitions is, this is not a hopeless situation. Developing conviction in Buddha Shakyamuni as a holy being who is completely reliable, there is a path from this place that I'm in that it took tremendous courage to acknowledge I'm in. There's a path from this place, not only to perfect peace, but to becoming a protector, a rescuer, where I can lift others from their suffering. I so want this. Give me this. Let me hear how to get there. Tune in. Now, in this book, Joyful Path, we have a section on developing faith in the three jewels. And one of the sections is we learn about Buddha's skillful means. And there's all of these beautiful stories of Angulimala, of Pramudita, of Nanda, who becomes Ananda, and Sridhata, and Lam Chung, and all of these people that, you know, quite possibly could reasonably have thought, I'm a hopeless case. Angulimala, what good could I possibly do? Lam Chung, I can't remember a single verse of Dharma. Sridhata, it's too late. It's too late. And for each of these examples, Buddha led them to their nirvana, led them to peace. Why can he not lead us to the same place? We just need to tune in and listen. One of my favorite verses that Venerable Geshe-la quotes in Joyful Path of Good Fortune is from Nagarjuna's friendly letter, where he says, if anyone who has previously been extremely reckless, later practices conscientiousness sincerely, that person will become pure like a stainless moon. So I think we may find ourselves in those dark nights of the soul where we think pure like a stainless moon, that's gone. That ship has sailed. That has passed me by. I had a chance maybe, and I blew it. And Nagarjuna is telling us, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. Tune in. Practice conscientiousness sincerely. Deeply listen. Follow in Buddha's footsteps, and you will become pure like a stainless moon. These are truths, Dharma truths. When we listen with this confidence, with this hopefulness. It's not forlorn. What we're listening to is the path that we're going to travel. When we hear text, sometimes we hear descriptions of things that seem so far beyond where we are. But we're listening to them to know where we're going, to know what we're going to enjoy, to know what we're going to become. Developing a strong wish that Dharma will flourish and remain for a long time. Because this isn't just about us. You know, we're a Mahayana tradition. This is about everyone. We are so fortunate to be here. Everyone needs to be in this moment where they hear Buddha tell them how to get to a place of peace. Everybody needs to hear that voice. So we hear it and we hold it into our hearts so that we can share it, so that we can broadcast it, so that eventually one day everyone can find their peace. That's what this is all about.